Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. Praise his wonderful name. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together again this midweek service. I'd like to read just one portion of scripture before we go to prayer here tonight from Hebrews, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Paul says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience. And we talk a lot about faith, and we should. But when it comes to walking in the promises of Abraham, as a seed of Abraham, to walk in those promises requires more than faith. Through faith and patience, inherit the promises. That word patience is endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance, the ability to wait or to continue doing something despite difficulties, or to suffer without complaining or becoming annoyed. Help us, Lord. The quality of being patient as the bearing of provocation, somebody's provoking, annoyance, misfortune or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. In other words, you're not human. An ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. When I went to Myanmar, they said we could always tell when an American comes over. They have no patience. To have patience with a slow learner. Quiet, steady, perseverance, even-tempered care, diligence. There's a lot packed in that one word. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. How many would like to be remembered in prayer tonight? Father, as we lift our hands to heaven and we bow our heads towards the earth, our hearts towards the earth, Lord, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, we're in great expectation this evening that you're going to meet our needs once again. You always provide, Lord. You're never late. You're always on time. And Lord, you know what the right timing is. And so we put our confidence in you and our trust in you tonight, Lord. And we commit everything into your hands. I just ask that your blessings be upon each and every one that's here, Lord. And the many more that are out with sickness and different things this evening that are listening in. We ask that your blessings be with them, Lord. And Father, we give you all praise and honor and glory. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. We'll title this, Through Faith and Patience. Through faith and patience. And what we really want to focus on is just one word here tonight. Patience. Shall we close? So we know that patience is one of the seven virtues of Christ that is in every truly born-again Christian. We know that it is in that seed. It is a portion of that divine nature. Peter tells us that a Christian that is born again of the Spirit becomes a partaker of the very divine nature that was in Christ Jesus himself. And we know that without patience, we're not going in a rapture. And we can't possibly overcome all the snares of the devil, especially in this age, but in any age. And as a son or daughter of God grows up into the head, Christ, matures through the trials of life, and patience will be on display in our lives, reflecting the very image of Christ here on the earth. So when Brother Branham preached the message on the stature of a perfect man and the series of other messages that he brought in, blasphemous names and so forth, he pointed out to the Pentecostals that he was speaking to at that time, that the virtues of Christ, they're real, and they are to be on display in the lives of the elect believers. So the term born-again Christian, it was being used so loosely in Brother Branham's day that many were claiming to have the new birth by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, And yet, in many cases, you couldn't point out any changes of behavior that took place in their lives. They were relying on an emotion as evidence, or on a sensation, or were just mentally believing that they had received it because the Bible said that it was promised to us if we follow the prescription of Acts 2:38, and they'd say, well, I followed that prescription, so therefore I have it. Friends, if these virtues of Christ are what are in those that are truly born from above, well, then somebody's going to manifest them in our day. Somebody's going to, it's going to be on display. That image of God that was lost by man in the garden will be restored. And these virtues, they're not optional in the life of a believer. And the genuine virtues, they can't be manufactured. Though the intellectual virtues can and will be manufactured. If we are truly born from above, then these virtues are actually a part of that new nature that's down in the soul. And they will abound as we grow and as we mature in Christ. Abraham's seed inherits the promises of God through faith and patience. So it goes without saying that we must believe by faith in the promises of God. And we could just spend a few services just speaking about faith. But that goes without saying. To inherit the promise, there must be faith. But we need to understand that the seed of Abraham doesn't instantly come into the full possession of their inheritance. No, it requires patience also, which means that they will have to wait. There are promises that we can make live by faith alone, and we can walk in them immediately. In fact, a person that's not even a Christian many times, they can take God at his word by faith and receive healing right away. But there are some promises that are given to the seed of God that will only come by faith and patience together. So this is not just ordinary faith either that we're talking about. This is perfect faith that we're talking about this evening, coupled with patience. Hebrews 6:12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, I'm stuck. Somebody hit the record player. After he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Not when, after. So God made a covenant, we know, with Abraham, and that covenant was entirely a grace covenant. Abraham did not have to first patiently endure to come under this grace covenant that God made with him. And this is important, friends. But to obtain the inheritance of the promise, he did have to first believe God and patiently endure. In other words, Abraham did not receive those exceeding great and precious promises immediately after God swore his covenant with Abraham. With faith and patience, Abraham endured and brought the promise to pass in his life. Now, he had to endure in the face of troubles, in the face of misfortunes, in dry times, and under difficult circumstances. Does this sound familiar? Don't think that it's strange, friends. We need to embrace this tonight. We need to expect to have to persevere. We need to expect that we are going to face obstacles. We need to expect to have trials that will test our faith. We say we believe, but then it'll be proven whether or not we believe. Paul said after he patiently endured, which meant that there was something that he first had to go through. And yet God showed Abraham that the covenant was a grace covenant alone. And God wanted Abraham to be able to separate the covenant from the inheritance of the promise. Let me say that again. God wanted to show Abraham, I'm giving you a covenant. This is one thing. I'm giving you an inheritance. That's something entirely different. So God swore by himself the covenant to Abraham and to his seed. And the reason why we're focusing on this is because we are Abraham's seed by faith. God swore by himself the covenant to Abraham and to his seed. So there's nothing that you and I can do to earn that covenant with God. There's nothing that we can do to say, okay, God, I did this, so therefore you got to make this covenant with me. To obtain the inheritance, on the other hand, it does require something on our part. And if we truly are Abraham's seed, we will do what is needed to walk in our inheritance. So patience, friends, listen closely. Patience only comes when faith is tried. And patience will appear after our faith is tried. God's ways of doing things, friends, are the best. But they are so different from our ways. We would do it, if we were writing the script, we would have written it completely different. But we know that God has a purpose in everything that he does, and in everything that he causes us to walk in, there's a divine purpose. God doesn't waste time. God doesn't waste energy. God doesn't waste effort. He doesn't lead us through trials that are without a purpose and only to result in our suffering. In everything that God does, he has a purpose. Now, why would God make a covenant entirely by grace with Abraham? Why would he choose Abraham out of all the people that were living on the face of the earth at that time? I mean, why Abraham? And why would he swear an oath with Abraham? And why would he swear by himself? And why would he then confirm it with a sacrifice, telling him that he would make him the father of many nations? And then, why would God make Abraham wait 25 years to inherit the promise? Why not just give it to him immediately? Wouldn't that be a whole lot easier on everyone involved, including God? God was careful, friends, not to establish the covenant on the enduring patience of man. God had already proved with Adam that a conditional covenant with man wouldn't work because man couldn't keep his end of the covenant. If man had to wait 25 years for the covenant to come into effect, well, then there wouldn't be any of us saved. Nobody would be saved. And that's one reason, friends, why some will attend church for 5, 10, 15, 20 years even, and then one day go back out into the world. It's because they've been taught that their salvation is something that is still conditional and is still being worked out and is still in their future. And they will endure for a season, but eventually they will come to believe that they can't keep their end of the covenant. And they'll walk away believing that they're not worthy of the covenant because somebody taught them wrong about the covenant. But you see, the covenant's not based on our works. It's not based at all on our works. God didn't say, Abraham, I want you to do this, this, and this, and if you do that, I'll make a covenant with you. He chose Abraham and said, Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. And I swear by myself because I can't swear by anything greater. So the covenant is 100% based on the grace of God. And it is for us tonight too, friends. It's what he swore to do for you and I. Our only part in that covenant is to believe that he actually extended that grace covenant to us. Amen. And then walk in it. So God explained the grace covenant that he made to Abraham, and he swore an oath, and that I'm going to keep this, and he confirmed it with a sacrifice, as we know. He said, Abraham, you're my son. You are my seed. You're not just anybody. You are mine. I chose you, and I am making my covenant with you and with your seed. I want you to walk with me and be perfect in all your ways. I promise you, Abraham, that I will make you the father of many nations. But then he stops right there. Wow, what a meeting that was. What a visitation. What a tremendous service. What an anointing. Abraham believes it. Faith drops in. God's speaking to him. It's so real. He goes out and tells everybody. But God stops right there. He doesn't tell him when he's going to do it. He doesn't tell him how he's going to do it. He doesn't tell him where he's going to be when he does it. Just that it will happen. He doesn't tell him all that he's going to have to walk through as he walks alone with the Lord. And we know that he made that man wait 25 years. Why, under this covenant, why is it that you can ask for the promises to materialize, but you can't obtain them right away? Why not? Why doesn't God answer those prayers? He does answer them. Why doesn't he do it when we want him to? Give me patience. Right now. You see, God has many virtues that he wants to express these his own character to us. He wants us to learn of him, such as grace, love, patience, long-suffering, and so forth. But you and I, by our first birth, we didn't have those same virtues in our lives that God has. Some of us might have had an element of natural patience, perhaps, or natural temperance, and so on. But the nature of God, the image of God, it wasn't there in our lives by the first birth. On the contrary, many times we showed just the opposite of his nature in our first birth. We were in love with ourselves first. We were impatient. We couldn't put up with trials. We couldn't put up with others. We didn't even know what love was. But the virtues of God are to be birthed into the believer that grows into the stature of a perfect man. Each and every son and daughter of God, those virtues must be manifested. Now, we know that many people are born with a good measure of human patience or kindness or endurance. They're just nice people. But those are not the virtues that are in the body of Christ by the new birth. Those things are fine. Those things are nice. But it's not God's image. Because otherwise, if you wouldn't need a new birth. Your genes are of your natural parents, of your mother and your father. And so whatever you got from your mother and father, that's not the image of God. Those virtues, those godly virtues, they must be birthed in you by the Holy Spirit, and they are from the genes of your Heavenly Father. You see, God wants his children to have, he wants them to be more than just quoters of his word. And excuse me, he wants you to be more than just saying what he said. God wants sons and daughters on the earth that will reflect his very virtues. They will love like he loves. They will be patient like he's patient. They will suffer long as he suffers long. They will be gentle as he is gentle. They will be forgiving as he is forgiving. And so on and so forth. So the question for us tonight is, how does God cause patience to manifest in our lives? Thank you for asking, by the way. Well, he first gives you a promise, and he convinces you that it's yours. He reveals to you by faith that it's yours. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, but he gives you the faith. And then he backs away from the promise. And he doesn't say a word about it for a season sometimes. And so you'll go around and you'll tell others and you'll testify about the promise that God made you and how you're stepping out on it. And you might not have any feeling or any anointing to go with it. And others will look at you like you're crazy. And God will do that many times, friends, to see if you will agree with him only and not wait around for others to agree with you. That you just agree with him when it's popular to agree? Does your soul agree with his word? Or do you need others to approve of you and agree with you? Your faith will be tested. It will be proven. It will not be propped up by anything. Listen to this from the Philadelphia Church Age. Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And of course, we'll get into this in the Church Age series. Brother Branham asks the question, what does he mean by word of patience? God, give me patience. Give it to me now. I don't want to go through anything. Just give it to me. Friends, God is, if you are a born-again son or daughter of God, He's going to give you patience. And you don't have to ask for it. Abraham didn't ask for patience. God gave it to him, though. He will allow circumstances in our life to come about. We'll go through dry times. We'll go through times when it doesn't seem like there's any anointing, where nothing's happening. And then He will quicken the Scripture to us, and then we'll ask for that to be in our lives. He goes on to say, Hebrews chapter 6, 13 through 15, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, why did he have to endure, do you suppose? Because he didn't have any patience. And God knew that he didn't have any patience. Faith must be there, but patience must be there also. Now, we will see faith in action when battling against something, but sometimes we'll step out in faith and we'll hold on, say it's something for a loved one or something that we're struggling with in our own lives, and then we'll hold on and then nothing happens, or we'll come up for prayer God will reveal to us that night that He did something, that He moved on the scene, that He healed us. We'll go home, we'll feel worse the next day. We'll feel worse a week later. There's no anointing. There's nothing to prop up that faith. And pretty soon that faith will begin to wear thin because it's lacking patience. We don't have patience. We're actually living in an age that features instantaneous everything. You go to one of them fast food places and define fast food. You drive up there and they say, well, you know, I'm sorry, we don't have any French fries, so can you wait 5 minutes for some fresh fries? Well, I don't know. You know. 5 minutes. People, do you ever notice out in traffic, it's, you know, I guess I need to quit. At some point in time, I need to just quit noticing, but I keep track of stuff. You'll notice that you're coming up to a place where you got to turn, and there's nobody behind you, and somebody's in this other lane. Do you ever notice how they have to come and pull in front of you to turn? Why don't they go behind you? Why don't they just pull right behind you because they know you're going to make, you know, they're in the right lane? Why do they always have to get in front of you? It's impatience. You see people fly by you and doing twice the speed limit, and yet you're both at the next stoplight together. And you're like, are you going to get home to read the paper sooner than me? Is that what the deal is? And you're going to hear the bad news before anybody else? But it's accepted even. It's the hour that we're living in. Everything is so frantic and nobody wants to wait for anything. We can't get young people to get science and math degrees anymore. And so they have these programs, STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, to try to motivate young people to to go into those fields. And why is it that they can't get young people to do it? Because it requires some patience. It requires a lot of homework, a lot of study. It doesn't happen overnight. And there's other things that you can study and just party on the weekend and graduate and go out and do it. And not much effort was put into it. Instant everything. There are things that we will pray for God to do, and we will pray for years before they're fulfilled. And it's supposed to be that way. And Satan will go to work on our minds, and he will try to take away from that genuine faith by causing us to question as time goes by. Well, why isn't it happening? Maybe there's something wrong with you. You're not doubting the promise, but maybe the promise, maybe you left something out, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this, maybe that. All that comes during the delay. All that comes in the time while you're waiting on God to fulfill that promise. But faith will hold on. Faith is a bulldog. That perfect faith will grab hold and it just won't let go. God knew that Abraham had faith. That was established. But God also knew that Abraham didn't have patience. So God taught Abraham and his seed that patience is required. He goes on to say, you see, the Spirit is speaking about the Word of God, which is given to us. To wait for the fulfillment of the Word required patience, even as it did in the case of Abraham. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. He was patient, and then the Word finally was fulfilled. This is the way God teaches his people patience. This is the way God teaches his people patience. He teaches us patience. It's not a gift. He teaches us patience. He anoints our faith for a genuine need in our lives. And then we go around and testify of it many times. And then instead of getting better, we get worse. Or the anointing is no longer there. But God is going to teach us patience. He's going to teach us how to hold on to that promise no matter what happens. And to not look at anything else but the promise. That faith must be proven first. There's an order that these things are manifested in our lives, these virtues. There's an order. It starts with faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it starts with faith, and then it works on up. Patience is somewhere there in the middle. Brotherly kindness, you can't have brotherly kindness if you don't have patience. How can you hold out for a brother or sister if you're impatient? So that patience has to be there. So God is going to teach us patience. He's going to teach us how to hold on despite the circumstances. Now, many times we have started out with genuine faith. And we have waited. And then we've seen that faith wane over time. Due to circumstances, due to getting weary. Do not be weary in well-doing. He goes on to say, why, if he fulfilled his word in physical manifestations the very instant you prayed, you would never learn patience, but would become even more impatient with life. So, if God spoiled us, if God just gave it to you right away, you'd be worse. He says, let me show you this truth even more fully set forth. You know, impatience is annoying. It's not godly. When somebody's teaching you something, mentoring you, coaching you, and they're impatient, how do you feel about that? You're pretty sure you're not going to be able to do it because they're rushing you. And you want to tell them, you know what, just go away. I got this. Leave me alone. No, that's wrong. No. Aren't you glad God isn't that way with us? It's annoying. And impatience shows a lack of faith and a lack of trust in God's word. But God knows how to give us patience. And you probably won't pray for it after tonight. But he knows how to give it to us. One reason why many people don't get the Holy Ghost the moment that they give their lives to Jesus is because they're not fully believing the promise yet. The disciples didn't receive the Holy Ghost the moment they gave their heart to the Lord. Many of them followed him for 3 years. They were justified. They were sanctified. Their faith was building. Then the promise came. And rather than hold out and say, God, I believe, and continually reminding God of his promise, continually focusing on that, we whine and we'll say, why isn't it happening yet? What we're showing is that we don't really believe it. Because if you say, why isn't it happening, you're saying you don't believe it's going to happen. But he said he would do it. And we have to believe that. That has to be settled. Others will see it and they'll tell you, well, just believe you got it. Because he said he would give it to you and you did this and that, so just believe you got it. But when we fully believe God, the stress over receiving the promise goes away. And we rest in the promise. And then we receive the promise without a struggle. It's one of the most natural things, even though it's supernatural. And it's the same is true about the virtues, friends. The virtues don't all come into manifestation in our lives the day that we receive the Holy Ghost. Those virtues are in that seed, but now they need to be watered. Now they need to grow. Now they need to manifest. And that takes time. And we must have patience by the trying of our faith. And we cannot have long suffering until first there is patience. Brother Branham goes on to say, Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises, the word of God, offered up his only begotten son. There it is. Abraham was tried after he received the word of promise. Most think that as soon as we pray in Jesus' name over the good promises of God, that there could be no trial. But here it says that Abraham was tried after he received the promise. So Abraham's faith was tried in order for him to get patience. And now patience has to be tried by him offering up his son. God knows how to lead you into these things, friends. God knows what we need. He knows what he's doing. He goes on to say, that's exactly correct, according to the psalmist, referring to Joseph, Psalm 105:19, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. God gives us exceeding great and precious promises. He has promised to fulfill them. He will, but from the time we pray until the time we get the answer, we must learn to receive patience into our souls, for only in patience do we possess life. For only in patience do we possess life. That's a powerful statement, friends. So we will say many times, God, I need an answer, and I need it tonight. Where do we get off putting God on a deadline? Well, there's a deal that it's too good to turn down. We'll turn it down. If you got to make a decision and you don't know which way to go on, you're presuming. And God doesn't run his economy. If it's something that you're supposed to do and there isn't time for it, put it in God's hands. Put it in his hands regardless. But don't let time be a pressure, friends. Don't put God on a deadline. Just take him at his word. He knows what we need and he knows when we need them. And we can't make these things manifest in our lives by ourselves. God knows how to cause these things to grow in us. They're in you, but they must abound. We trust him and we commit it to him, and he will bring it to pass. Again, he says, May God help us to learn this lesson, even as we know the people of the sixth age learn patience. We read the history of the lives of these great Christians. What a contrast we see between their lives and ours, for they were so patient and quiet. Now, did they just decide to be patient? Is that how it happened? Or did these things grow? And today, we're all but overcome in over-impatience and haste. Help us, Lord. We wait for our loved ones to come to Christ. We wait for our children, and things sometimes seem to get worse. We pray for, if we have an unbelieving mate, we pray for our mate, and then our mate gets worse. And then we have a fight. And then we say, I must have doubted. No, your patience ran out. Hold on. Keep holding on. It's the same for all of us. There's no exceptions. This is the only way any of us. Brother Branham had to get it this way. Well, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this, and God won't move for me. What's the problem? We come up for prayer, we ask for the same thing over and over and over, and we're patient with you. But we need to first believe, friends, and then allow that faith to be tried. And then when we ask for prayer again and again and again for the same thing, our faith never has a chance to grow because we're doing a reset every time. We're digging up that seed, and taking a look at it. Leave it in the ground. If we're having trouble believing, then pray for that. Say, God, just give me that revelation that this promise is mine. And let me let it just become part of my fabric. Let it become part of my being where I'm in an expectation that you're going to do this because you said so. Hebrews 10:36. Paul says, for you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So when you take God at his word, friends, and nothing happens right away, don't let the devil talk you out of the promise of God. Because there is no time frame on God's promises. There's no promise where he says it's instant. Patience is what allows us to stand and not move. To just hold on to the promise and say, I don't care what happens. I don't care if this makes sense or not. I don't care if I can explain it or not. I'm not moving. I'm going to stand right here because God gave me a promise. I'm not going to reason. I'm not going to look at it. I'm just going to hold on. And that's what enables us. Patience is what enables us to be persistent. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. And that, Jesus talking about the parable of the seed that fell into different kinds of ground. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they had heard, they go forth, and they are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, they heard the word, so we all have to hear the word, they keep it, that's the faith part, hold on, and bring forth fruit with patience, endurance, persistence. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. But if you do a little study on vineyards, it takes time for branches to grow. It can take years. And on top of that, it takes even longer for the fruit to come forth. So in order for fruit to come forth, in order for the branch to grow to where it will eventually put forth fruit, the branch has to continually abide in the vine. And eventually the branches will grow, and eventually they will come to bear fruit. And many times the husbandman will cut the branch back after years and years of growth at the time that he sees it bearing fruit because he wants it to bring forth more fruit. And that requires patience. It's a type of us being purged, friends, of any unbelief that might be remaining. We want perfect faith. Not just faith, but perfect faith. And that requires patience in order for us to be purged. So our fervent desire in this hour, my desire tonight, friends, is to reflect the image of God in this evil age. To see the image of God manifested on the earth. One more time. But that takes time to manifest in our lives. I'm not saying for us to be slothful or lazy. I'm not saying that at all. Whether you're steadfast or whether you're slothful, it's still going to take time. Because like everything else in life, everything else that God does, He has a process for things. Luke 21:19, Jesus says, "In your patience, possess ye your souls." In your patience, possess or obtain ye your souls. In your patience. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." Paul, did they just legalize marijuana or something? "We glory in tribulations also." I was following you, but I don't know now. "We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." Tribulation, pressure, affliction, stress, straits. Worketh patience. And patience, experience. The manifestation of the character in your life. And experience, hope. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." So that's what it takes to work patience. Tribulation. And we look at tribulation so much of the time, we say, "God, I don't want that. Something must be wrong. I must have done something wrong. I must have failed you somehow because I'm going through tribulation." But tribulation worketh patience. In order for the Roman church that Paul was ministering to see what it takes to be the seed of Abraham, Paul had to show them that there's a process that God puts us all through. That it's not instantaneous. You're not going to be the stature of a perfect man the moment you give your heart to the Lord. And God knows how to bring these things forth in our lives. Now, patience doesn't mean that you're lazy towards the promise. Patience doesn't mean, well, que sera, sera, as we said here the other day. No, there's no faith in que sera, sera. No, you're holding out. You haven't totally forgotten about the promise, for sure. You're not praying over and over again for God to give you the promise, because you've already got faith that He's going to give you the promise. But you may be praying, "God, remember that promise? I just want to remind you." And guess who you're actually reminding? You. You're actually preaching to yourself, and that faith is just getting further and further planted in your life. "God, you said, and I believe it. I thank you, Lord. You are so faithful. You cannot lie. You are my Father. You're the giver of all good things, and you would withhold nothing good from your children. I believe you, Lord." That doesn't leave room for the enemy to come and bring some other version. That's you talking it over with your Father. So you hold on to that promise, come what may. It means you don't stop believing. We can have a stomach issue and other people don't have that. And we put it before the Lord and it just keeps coming back. And it just like a broken record. You just hold on to that, friends. Same thing with back problems or besetting sin or whatever it is. You got to put it before the Lord and just hold on. Not just believe for a moment, but hold on. Hold on like a pit bull. Now we know that God is patient. Right? After all, He said, "Let there be light." Brother Branham said it might have been millions of years after He said it before it happened. He had to patiently wait for that, right? He said, "Let there be this, let there be that, let there be this." He was speaking for seeds. But did those seeds come forth right away? No. He said in the garden, "I will give you a seed and he'll bruise the head of the serpent." Only took 4,000 years for that to happen. He said, "I will restore, saith the Lord." When did that happen? How long is that taking? He said, I will have a bride that's without spot or wrinkle or blemish. How long is that taking? He said, my son is going to sit upon the throne of David. How long is that taking? He said, I will make thine enemies thy footstool. How long is that taking? He said, I will justify you by faith. I will sanctify you by my word, by my blood. I will fill you and give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. I will send my gifts to edify you, to perfect you, to bring you to maturity, to bring you to the unity of the faith, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. As you grow up into the head, how long does that take? And he's not a bit impatient by all that's taking place along the way. Romans 5:3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So Paul said, you must have patience. Okay, where do I buy it? Paul, we believe you. You're the church age messenger. Wow. We're not getting this from some flunky. We're getting it straight from the guy who's been given the dispensation to the Gentiles. We believe you. What more can we do than believe? Have patience. Paul says, that's good. It's needful that you believe. And I thank you for that. But you got to have patience too. So friends, as a seed of Abraham, you have a need and you'll ask God for it. And then you commit it to him and move on. Amen. Believing. Holding on. Romans 8:25. But if we hope for that that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now, if we could see it, it wouldn't be faith. So, by definition, if we can't see it, faith is required to wait for it. But patience is required to wait for it. So wait for it, you will. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Again, in the Thyatiran church age, Brother Bram said, he's not talking about his faith now, but he's commending them for their faithfulness. And as he does, he also mentions their patience. Now, faithfulness and patience go together. In fact, patience is the outcome of faithfulness. For it says in James 1:3, the trying of your faith worketh patience. There is absolutely no other way in which to gain patience. It has to come by the trial of our faith. Don't think it's strange. Don't let the devil take you down this trail and that trail. Well, what am I doing wrong? What else do I have to do? If you've met his requirement, stand. Amen. Hold on. Amen. Say, God, I believe you. Amen. And if there's still unbelief, don't beat yourself up over that either. Say, God, help me, I unbelieve. Amen. Purge me. Bring this faith to its fruition in my life. There's absolutely no other way in which to gain patience. It has to come by the trial of our faith. Romans 5:3. Tribulation worketh patience. How highly God regards this outworking of patience is seen in James chapter 1, verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. God's will for us is perfection. And that perfection is patience. Waiting on God and waiting for God. This is the process of character development. You know, there's a process for film development. People are going to stop. They'll be using film for, in certain cases, it's for certain applications, there's digital can't compare. So there'll always be a film development process. But it used to be that it was that's all there was. And you could talk about the process of developing film. If you want that film to be developed, you have to follow a process. And it takes time. And you can't skip a step. You've got to do everything according to the procedure if you want it to develop. Character is the same way. Character won't come. You can't rush it. There's no speed course. Well, I'm just going to take the Reader's Digest version of it, you know. I'm going to take the accelerated class on character development. Good luck with that. If it took 25 years for Abraham, how long do you think it'll take us? And that God's will is for us is perfection. And that perfection is patience. Waiting on God, waiting for God. This is the process of character development. How highly God has commended these saints of the dark ages. Patience as lambs led to the slaughter. Lovingly, faithfully, they serve God. That is all they wanted out of life, just service to their Lord. How great was to be their reward. So we need to have patience with God. We need to have patience with ourselves. We need to have patience with His Word. We need to have patience with one another. And it can only come by the trial of our faith. A lot of people that suffer so many quote-unquote people problems in the church, they have no patience. We need to have patience. We need long-suffering. I don't know about you, friends, but if going to heaven means people over there, if it means there's going to be people over there that are impatient, I don't want to go. You might look at it this way. We're in the womb of Christ the Word when you're born again of the Spirit of God, and we are growing and we are developing until we come to maturity. And when we come to full term, we will be birthed then into our celestial body, and we will be like Him. But we can't go into that celestial body until what's in here matches that body. So this life is our growth cycle in Christ. This life is the church going through her 9 months of pregnancy. This life is us growing up in Christ as we are in His bosom. And ironically, this life as we know it, it starts with a natural birth, and then it progresses to a spiritual birth, and then it ends with a physical birth, God perfecting in threes. The trial of your faith, friends. The trial of your faith. Don't look at somebody else's. We don't have time for that. The trial of your faith. The trial of your faith. As these things grow in us, as we gain that patience is formed in us, we will have patience with one another. Preachers are tried just as everybody else. And a lot of times our trials of our faith come from the sheep. We learn patience. We learn long-suffering. We have to. Every one of us. There's no exceptions. And there's none of us are excluded from being put through the ringer. None of us are excluded from the pressures that it takes to form these things in our lives. But if we trust God, friends, He's faithful. Who gave the promise, He's faithful. He will bring that promise to fruition in our lives. And we will have this divine nature on display in our lives. Peter put it this way. He said, if these things be in you and abound, they will make you. that you will no longer be barren nor unfruitful in Christ. Amen? And you will never fall if these things be in you and abound. Amen? So we are in a process of character development. Each and every one of us. And friends, there's no big I's or little U's in this. We were all born without character. Right? And character is something that must be formed in us. In this life and in this journey, how much character do we want to have? What character do you want to have throughout eternity? You want to have a temper throughout eternity? I wouldn't want eternal life if it meant that I was impatient throughout eternity. Or that I was flying off the handle. If I had Brother Branham said a temper is borderline insanity. You know, you can't even predict it. It just pops off and you can't control it. That's what a real temper is. Well, who wants that? We want temperance. So we all must have this divine nature in us, and they must abound. And it is a process which we call character development. God gives you His Word. You take it, you believe it, you hold on to it. And guess what? You'll get worse. Whether it's a besetting sin, whether it's something physical, whether it's something that you've said, you know, I put this before the Lord and I'm believing, and then later on you're saying, well, when is this ever going to happen? No matter what it is, God's going to do what He promised to do. Our part is to hold on. Our part is to believe. Our part is to take Him at His word and be honest with ourselves. If we're not believing, tell God, help my unbelief. But if we are, hold fast, friends. So the question for us tonight is, can we take Him at His word? Come what may. God said He would give me my family. Can I hold on to that? Believing. Or am I going to look at circumstances? Are we patient with what God is doing in other people's lives? Friends, if we see that God's actually being patient with us and then developing that patience in us, why would we want to be impatient with somebody else? So we need patience not just in our own lives, but with others. Our children didn't grow up in one day, did they? And if they did, I guess we would have heard about it, right? Would have been in the paper somewhere. Would have been more than child genius. It would have been Wonder Man or whatever. You know? They didn't grow up in one day. It was one day after another. And it was one lesson after another. One trial after another, one victory after another. Amen? And eventually, I say this by faith, eventually they grew up. I could say that in case of my family, they did grow up. But when our children are growing up, we can sometimes get impatient and we can sometimes look at what's happening and wonder, are they ever going to get this? Are they ever going to get that? They do, and they will. So is it with a Christian? So is it with a son or daughter of God that's born again of His Spirit? God has a process, and He's going to put us through it, and there's no other way. There's no shortcut. There's no other path, and His way is the best way. A person reflecting these things in their life is perfect. In God's eyes. When those things abound in you, that's perfect worship. Brother Branham said, a man fully mature, standing in the stature of the fullness of Christ, he says, that is perfect worship. Patience. Let's stand. Hallelujah. How many believes this? How many believes that God's in control? If God has a plan, He's going to carry it out. If God has requirements, He's going to meet those requirements. If God's given you a covenant, He's going to bring it to pass. Our part is to take Him at His word. Our part is to hold on. Our part is not to waver. Our part is to stay in that word. Our part is to stay in prayer, stay in the Spirit. Say, God, bring these things to pass in my life. I'm not asking for a trial, but I guess I am. If I just be honest. I want to grow up in you, Lord. I want to be mature. I want to be every bit as long-suffering as you want me to be. Every bit as patient as you want me to be. Every bit as gentle. Every bit as humble. Every bit as loving. I want all these things to be on display. I want the world to see your image. We're seeing Satan's image manifested on the earth. I want the world to see your image on display. I want the world to see the power of this blood. I want the world to see what your redemption can accomplish in a sinner, a former drug addict, a former alcoholic, a former whatever. And look what God can do in your life. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, I know that's not just my desire, and I know, Lord, that if you put it on my heart that Lord, that there's a need for these things to be ministered. There's a need for these things to be brought out. We know that one of Satan's tricks is to cause us to be impatient. And with impatience brings doubt. We don't want to doubt your word. We want to take you at your word. We want to make sure that faith is firmly established in our hearts, that it's genuine faith, that you've given us a promise and we're not slightly believing it or hoping, but we believe it. That must be settled first. You've made a covenant with us, Lord. When we truly surrender and give our hearts to you, we want to be careful about that. Because if we don't know that we're a sinner, how can we accept you as our Savior? We must be convinced in our hearts that we are sinners, that without you we're lost. And we also must be convinced that you have paid the price, as you said that you did. You came and lived that perfect life that no one else could live. And that you did it for us personally. That must be a revelation in our hearts that you did that for us. And when I say us, I mean me or someone else. That must be personal. And Lord, when that breaks on us, there's such a release that comes. There's a load of guilt and shame that's lifted. We're not just giving our quote-unquote hearts to the Lord because we don't want to go to hell or because this person did it or that person or it sounded good or we were pressured or somebody pulled on our emotions. But we're convinced. We're convinced of you. Convinced of your word. You did this. We needed a Savior. You are our Savior. You did it for us. Lord, when we receive that and accept it in our hearts by faith and confess it, well, then we walk in it and we hold on. And yet, we have this whole life that's still ahead of us. And it won't be proven without a shadow of a doubt that we are saved until we leave this dimension and move to another dimension. And yet, we will patiently wait for that to be manifested in no uncertain terms. That you're coming, or if we go the way of the grave, at the last trump, the change of the body. But Lord, we want to hold on to that. We want that promise to be real to us. Whatever it is in your word, you've made a covenant with us, and then you've made promises to us. You've given us an inheritance. You've given us exceeding, as Peter says, exceeding great and precious promises. We must first be convinced of that covenant, that it's a grace covenant, and that you will fulfill this, that there's nothing that we can do to come under that covenant. This is what you are doing. This is what you promised. And then we take you, we hear all the things that you promised that you're going to do. And we got to make those our words. That promise has to be to us, to each and every one of us individually. So, Lord, if we're still struggling with promises, and we'll struggle here and there until it's established in our hearts. A lot of times, there's no struggle at all. We've given our hearts to the Lord. We've justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost even. A lot of times, a sinner can come into church and receive something, and we'll struggle. It's because we've got to believe. We've got to take it and possess it by faith. But then, Lord, you're going to try that faith. And that faith is going, when it's tried, it will produce patience. Father, help us to see this tonight. Help us to recognize that you have a process. Help us not to wonder and question, doubt. Allow Satan to get the victory over us by causing us to walk away from the promise, thinking that maybe we're lacking something, or too much time's gone by, or something's wrong. May it just become established in our hearts, Lord. You made us a promise, and you cannot lie. We want to just take a hold of those promises, whatever it might be, realizing, Lord, that it might be tonight, tomorrow, next week, next month, 20 years from now, but you will fulfill that promise. We want to take you at your word. Help our unbelief, Lord. Father, I know myself. I'm not preaching tonight as if I've arrived and nobody else has. I see areas that I'd like to see more of your virtue manifested in my life. And I'm sure that's true for each and every one of us here tonight, Lord. So, Lord, we're looking to you. First of all, we just want to tell you, Lord, we trust you. We want to tell you, Lord, that we want to thank you for this grace covenant that you've called us to walk in. And we want to thank you, Lord, for taking full responsibility to bring this to pass. And, Lord, for watching over all the little details, knowing all the circumstances, knowing everything that we would need to go through, knowing what it would take. Knowing each and every one of us, knowing that what it will take for me will be something different perhaps than what it'll take for somebody else. But you'll work it out. You're the God of everything. You're the God of all the little details. And if you're the God of every little detail, you're the God of the big things. There's nothing that's out of cater. There's nothing that doesn't work for our good to bring out your perfect plan in our lives. Father, we want to see these things manifested. We want to grow in these things. We want to mature in these things. We want to be mature in our approach. We don't want to be hit and miss or shotgun or one week and off the next, but we want to every promise that you quicken to us, Lord. We want to hold on to it. And Lord, keep it before you, knowing that you'll bankrupt heaven before you'll allow one promise to go unanswered. You are faithful who's given the promise. Lord, we've seen it. Just the life of Abraham and Sarah alone ought to be enough. That ought to settle it for us, but it's all the way through the scripture. You've shown this principle all the way through, even in the life of the man Jesus that lived on the earth. We understand that through suffering, learned obedience. So that had to be a learned behavior. That had to be something that came through tests and trials. If it was that way with the first of the new race, how about the rest of us? But Lord, what a confidence here. What a hope here tonight, knowing that the one that started this work is going to finish it and not going to lose a single one along the way. Help us, Lord, to be Lord, to hold on, to allow that patience to run its course, to be worked in our lives, knowing, Lord, that, Father, we could have chosen any of the virtues to speak on tonight, but you put that on my heart, along with some other things perhaps we'll get into next time, but But Lord, it's something that your prophet said, it matters how we're taught. It matters who teaches us. The master builder, of course you're the master builder, but Paul bringing the dispensation to the Gentiles, he laid all these things out. We can just take it from your word, and of course, your seventh age messenger took us back to what Paul taught and the other apostles and just said the same thing with understanding, restoring that faith that was once delivered. We want to receive it, we want to walk in it, and we want to see sons and daughters, the seed of Abraham, coming into manifestation here on the earth in this evil, dark age. When you said it would be light in the evening time, what a wonderful thing, Lord. What a tremendous promise that you've given to us. We would see it, Lord. We would walk in it as our prayer. Bless each and every one tonight, Lord. Father, if any of us maybe we're struggling with something, and maybe we've struggled with it before, and maybe the devil's convinced us that we'll never get over it, Father, may we just come to you without condemnation. Come to you, Lord, knowing that we confess those things to you, knowing that our desire is to do your will. But Lord, commit it in your hands, knowing that you promised, Lord, that you would take these things from us. Father, if we'll do that, I believe, and if we just hold on, I believe, Lord, we'll see the fruit of it. We'll see that promise coming to pass in our lives. May we not consider the circumstances, no matter what they are, Lord, in our lives or the lives of others, but may we, as has already been said here tonight, the main thing is your word. We want to take you at your word and hold on to that, knowing, Lord, that you're going to bring it to pass in our lives. Bless each and every one now, Lord, as we commit each one into your hands. We love you and thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Show me your way. Show me your way.